Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Text for our consideration on this Easter Sunday is from Psalm 98, the first verse. So sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. We've come here this morning to hear the story about Jesus Christ, who claimed to be the Son of God, who was crucified, who died, who was buried, and who rose on the third day from the dead. It is a strange story, to say the least. And yet it's the story that those who believe that this Jesus Christ really is who he says that he is, claim is the greatest story ever told, and just as importantly, the greatest story ever heard. For as strange a story as it is, we happen to believe that this story is absolutely true. Not just hypothetically true, not just true in some symbolic or mysterious way, but concretely true in every detail. He really is who he says that he is. He really was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He really did die on the cross. He really did rise from the dead in both body and soul on the third day, just as the scriptures had always said that he would. He really was seen by men and women whom he visited during 40 days after his resurrection before he ascended bodily into heaven, where he sits now at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. This is the story that we believe to be absolutely true, as strange a story as it is. And we love to hear this story told over and over and over again. We never get tired of it, not just because it's so remarkably true, but because we believe that in some profound and mysterious way, the dying and the rising of this God-man is the single event in which human history was moving from the very beginning of time, and the single event from which all of human history will continue to move until the very last day at the end of time. Easter is God's promise of a sequel to the creation in the beginning fulfilled. God's creation in the beginning was good, very good, everything perfect. Easter is now the new creation of the world, where everything is once again good, very good, and perfect. Easter is the new creation, where everything is made new all over again. Of course, the only reason that there needs to be a sequel to the creation account at all is because it became infected with a deadly virus called sin that spread to all people, even worked its way into the very material fabric of the creation itself, all because of one man named Adam. If you're ever going to understand what the big deal about Easter is, you've got to understand the nature of this deadly virus called sin. Sin is not primarily what we do. Our sinful actions and our sinful deeds are only the inevitable result of who we are. We are sinful by nature. The virus has gotten into our very being, and it has taken us over. It's not that we are sinful because we sin. It is that we sin because we are by nature sinful and unclean, and we cannot do anything else. When we sin, it's just us doing what comes naturally. We all know that this is an old world, a falling apart world, that the times are evil, and that every generation has got it exactly right when they say it's never been this bad, and I don't think it can get any worse. And yet in our desperate search for a remedy to the problems of this world and the cure for the disease, we typically only treat the symptoms. We keep hoping that a stronger government, that better programs, that even holy wars will finally do the trick. We keep hoping that advanced medicine and the latest technology and a faster internet will provide all of the solutions to our problems that this world needs to make it a better place to live. But every significant advancement only turns out to be nothing more than anesthesia. To dull the pain for a little while, even giving a small amount of pleasure or joy for a little while, but then it wears off and the pain returns. Every new invention that promised to make our lives better, every war that promised to be the end of all wars, every advancement in science and technology that promised utopia here and now was either only amazingly temporary or actually backfired in ways that were never anticipated. And everyone who has ever put their hope in these things for a new world and a new life, a perfect marriage, perfect children, have either been terribly disappointed or they will be. Because all of these things only treat the symptoms, because that's all that they can do. Because human beings are infected with the virus themselves and they cannot get to the heart of the matter, which is the human heart. All we can do is address the symptoms. We cannot change our very nature. So on Easter, by the foolishness of the cross and by the shame of the crucifixion, the Son of God got to the heart of the matter of the problem, which is the human heart. The only one who was not infected with Adam's deadly virus was the one who could actually deal with the corrupt, sinful nature in us and create a whole new man with a whole new nature, the nature of the second Adam, who is Jesus Christ himself, Son of God and Son of Man. This is the heart and the soul of the Easter account. On Good Friday and Easter, which is all one divine, indivisible act of God, God established his new creation. In the crucified Christ, he put the old sinful nature in us to death. In the risen Christ, he raised up a whole new Adam, and through him a whole new generation of human beings, recreated now with a new nature, not like the old. Paul announces the good news to the Corinthians, saying, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. Paul tells the Galatians to quit focusing so much on the symptoms. That's not the real problem, for neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. Historically, Easter Sunday has always been Baptism Sunday for the church. It's the day when all of the catechumens are baptized. In baptism, all of the old, deceased, sinful nature is drowned and put to death. It is crucified and it dies with Christ. And a whole new person in Christ is raised up with him. Writing to the Romans, Paul declares, we were buried with him, therefore, by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was risen, raised from the dead, so too may we walk in newness of life. This newness of life is not just a new resolution to work harder and to try harder and to do better. We all know how long those things last. This newness of life that Paul is speaking of here is a whole new nature that is born again in us. Paul reminds the Ephesians that in their baptism they have both put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Through Jesus, crucified, raised from the dead. God has done for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He has created in us a whole new nature. In fact, he has created in us his own nature. And now he sets all of these little creations, these new creations, loose in an old and dying world. Each and every one of them guided by his Holy Spirit to work at making stronger laws and better government and advanced medicine and more technology, faster internet, not in the foolish hope that this will somehow save a dying world or the people in it from dying, but simply because it's the loving thing to do. And for all of those new creations, created again in the likeness of God, the loving thing to do is just what comes natural. The baptized into Christ are his new creatures. And the new creatures mingle and mix with the old creatures. And we're not just talking about us and them, because the new nature is still mingled and mixed with the old nature in each and every one of us. And every day the new creation struggles and battles with the old man and loses many more times than it gains victory. And every day is a returning to your baptism. And every day is a dying again to the sin that is in you and a rising again to the new life that is in Christ. And every day is a new creation all over again through your faith in God. But every day, day after day, all over this dying world, men and women, boys and girls are being baptized. And more new creations are populating this dying planet every minute. And our Lord knows the number of elect. And one day, which no one knows that day, but it could very well be today, and it might be tomorrow, he will come again, and once and for all, he will separate the old from the new. As far as heaven is from hell, and there will no more be any more mixing and mingling again. The Apostle John sees the final outcome of Easter's victory from his heavenly perch, and he declares to us what he sees. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be their God, and he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." This is the Easter story, the strange story of what our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished by his death and his resurrection from the dead. On Easter Sunday, which we celebrate every Sunday here, we come together in this place and countless other places all over this dying world to hear once again the story of Jesus Christ and all that he has done, to confess our sins and receive his gracious forgiveness, to eat and drink the body and blood of our crucified and risen Lord for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith, to encourage and support one another, to pray for one another as we struggle in this journey, and with one voice to sing that new song of the new creation, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him." Amen.